Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to join us, it's a car question kind of show. You call me up and you tell me your make and model and the mileage on your car, and then you and I are going to talk about the problem. You're going to describe the symptoms, and I'm going to ask you questions, and then we'll get as close as we can. This is the second to the last show that I'm ever going to have, and I was going to have Harkers on here, but we've got some technical difficulties because when I went from Payson down to Tempe, we couldn't use our radio studio in Tempe. So because I'm on a phone now, we couldn't do Harkers Automotive, but I'm going to start by telling you about Harkers. Harkers has been around for a very long time, since 1967. And Jeremy, their technician, is one of those young men that has the tenacity to find and fix problems that nobody else can. Now, as shop owners, we don't necessarily like that idea because he's got 21 hours in it and we're going to bill 9. However, when you've got somebody that's going to be able to fix it, that goes a long way. So Jeremy and Bob are a pair to just really... between the two of them, they can really get down on a problem. The car that they had, someone had already spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to fix it. But at the end of the day, Jeremy figured out that the tensioner was the problem, the chain tensioner on the timing chain. And so he was able to duplicate the problem. Then he fixed the problem, and the problem went away. Customer's really happy, but not after spending a couple thousand dollars on some guessing. But the idea is that they were able to take care of that. So if you live anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto Repair is a good place to go. Or if you've got a problem that nobody can fix, Harker's one is maybe one of two shops I'm going to send you to. So 38th Avenue and Indian School would be my first choice, and it should be yours as well. And I hope you don't fall into the same kind of situation where you take it to one shop and they try but can't. Then you take it to another shop, they try but can't. And then the second shop recommends you to a third shop and they try and can't. That's an that's a very difficult thing to do. And as many of you know, it's not financially feasible. So what's really important is finding somebody that has fixed cars like that. Maybe not your exact cars, but somebody who can really fix problems that other people struggle with. And you can call your local parts department and ask them who buys parts and keeps them. Why do you ask that? It's because if we buy a part and we keep it, that means we diagnosed it correctly. But if we buy a part and we return it, then we buy another part and we return it, clearly we're guessing. But the auto parts stores usually know the really great shops, and that would be something. You can also go to marksalem.com and click on the best car repair shops, and my list is there. But certainly when it comes to fixing a car nobody else can, there's three shops on my list, and Harker is one of them. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, you're welcome to call us. Jeremy will answer Gil will answer the phone, and then he'll whisper in my ear your name, and then we'll take your call in the order that it was received. Car repair is difficult. Maintenance is easy. What's going on in our industry is that there are some repair shops that are creating their own version of what you should do. Don't do that. Look at your owner's manual and follow the owner's manual. We've got shops out there that make the customers believe that if you put a synthetic oil in your car, which moves your oil change from $40 to $110, if we put synthetic oil in your car will love you forever and will never fail. And nothing could be further from the truth. So the synthetic oil has a change, depending on your owner's manual, between 10 and 15,000 miles. My 2012 Dodge truck diesel, I use synthetic in it, and I change the oil between 12 and 15,000 miles. And I've run a significant amount of oil analysis on my old oil compared to the new oil. I'm looking for an abnormal amount of copper, an abnormal amount of iron, any water, any fuel contamination. And when your motor's really running good, then there is none of those things inside your oil. But if there is, then there's a problem. So those kinds of oil analysis are very important. What we have is we have people who sell shops, a few shops, sell a full synthetic oil change, and then they put on your door sticker 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 miles. Well, that's only half the life of a synthetic oil. And so they're robbing you of half the life of that oil because they want to sell you the high-dollar oil, but they don't want to give you the benefits of the high-dollar oil. And that's something that comes to my attention at least two or three times a month. So those are the issues, and I warn you about that. And there's a lot of people that talk about synthetic, that your car isn't made for synthetic. Your car has a few brains, but it doesn't know what kind of oil you put in the engine. It doesn't know, it can't know, and it will never know. So it doesn't know if it's Valvoline or Castrol or if it's Chevron. It doesn't know what weight it is or whether it's a conventional oil, which is what we call Fred Flintstone oil, or a semi-synthetic oil. And no one really knows what semi means. You'd think that it would be 50% synthetic oil and 50% of conventional oil, but that's not the truth. It could be 90-10. It could be 90 conventional and 10% synthetic. So those are the games that everybody's playing. But what you can do is use a well-known name oil. I'll give you an example. Our shop pours Chevron oil. We know that there's no games being played with respect to the three oils that we pour, conventional, semi-synthetic, and synthetic. And obviously there's a big difference depending on our customers. We have lots of senior customers that run 3,000 miles a year. 4,000 miles a year. We put them in conventional oil. Remember that old oil change that's $25, $32? That's what we put them in because they're going to go a year through four seasons, and they're not going to exceed the mileage that we've put on that conventional oil. Let's flip it around. We've got people that drive, 5,000 miles a month. Well, after 3 months, they've gone 15,000 miles. We're going to put a synthetic in there because if they're driving 15,000, that's really, you divide that by three, that's five conventional oil changes or one synthetic oil change. No matter how you do the math, you're better off with synthetic oil. Your engine doesn't know the difference, and there's a lot of people that will suggest and tell you that if you use synthetic, you have to stay with synthetic. That's a lie. They say that your motor, if it wasn't designed for synthetic, you can't use synthetic. That's a lie. How do I know? Because I've been trained by Valvoline and Chevron. I'm an oil expert when it comes to application and problems with oil. I've been trained. So it doesn't really make any difference what you're told. Ask them about their credentials. But most of the time, when the few shops in town fib about an oil change or the time you should change your oil, it benefits them and not you. That's all there is to it. It benefits them and not you. So the idea is you're going to want to look at your owner's manual, and that will be that'll be what you're looking for. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And if you'd like to ask a car question, that's the number you use, 602-508-0960. And we've got a caller. Who might that be, Gil? Michael, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I haven't got a caller question, but I've got a comment. I've been a listener of your show for a lot of years. And I remember when you did your show on Channel 3, and it was on Channel 3, and I think Checker was a sponsor, and I remember at the tail end, you would have, like, say, a tool of the week or something like that, and I thought I really enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty good.
That was a long run for us, Michael. Rosie was there. Dave the Garden Guy was there. Terry Olette was there. There was a group of us younger people back then who were together, and I'll tell you what I remember about Channel 3. Dave the Garden Guy, like I say, Mark, Rosie, there was a lot of talent there. I walked in one day, and the whole place inside the television station was quiet, and there was 30, 40 people huddled around all the TV screens that they watched, other channels, nationwide television shows and stuff. And that was the Oklahoma City bombing. And I remember that Margaret, the director, turned around and said to Rosie and I, you won't have a show today. You won't have a spot today. Ironically enough, things went really good. And years later, and I don't remember if Oklahoma was before the Twin Towers, the same thing happened on the Tuesday when we, Rosie and I, were to show up, and Dave, the garden guy, show up and do our spots. So we sat there in a room with 20 televisions from 20 different places, and we watched those two things go down, and I don't think anybody left that big studio for till lunchtime. So those are the memories that I have that happened, but thank you for paying us all a compliment, because back then local radio was a really big deal, and Rosie and I and Dave were always grateful for TV3 for giving us that chance.
Mark, I got one question. You had an assistant on that TV program. Was that by any chance your son, Alan?
No, it wasn't. His name was Jamie, and he was our general manager. And probably maybe 10 years ago, Jamie opened up his own shop, and we were very proud of him when he opened up his own shop. He was our general manager, shop foreman kind of guy. He was really, really good with technicians and customers. Oftentimes, they're really good with one or the other, but not both. But Jamie's no longer in that business, and Jamie has another job, and he talks about being far lucrative, and I'm very happy for him. But Jamie was the sidekick that we used. Dave, the garden guy, had his brother in there, and Rosie had his son, Romy, in there. So somehow or another, the three of us were able to get good information, and every once in a while we got called into the principal's office, but it started out with this kind of a conversation. Did you really say... And before they could get anything out of their mouth, the garden guy and Rosie and Mark would say, yes. It was one of those answers that just came out. Yes, we said it. And then they'd say, well, we don't want you to say that again, and we'd do that. But thank you for noticing. But, yeah, it was Jamie Armstrong.
Thank you. Mark, I want to wish you a nice retirement, and I'm going to miss your show. But thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you, Michael, for your compliments and stuff like that. I feel like I got the better end of the deal, because when I first started radio, I wasn't very good. But with the people from both KTAR and KKNT, as well as the Channel 3 people, and then later we went to some network televisions, I was mentored about delivering my message. And the one thing that I want to tell you and others is this. When I got on the radio, Jim Tazarak at KTAR said, if you think you're going to do an hour-long commercial about your shop, you got another thing coming. It's at that point that I learned that if you don't thump your chest, then people will beat a path to your door. But if you thump your chest, you're not going to go very far. So Rosie and I and Dave the Garden Guy, we never used to thump our chest. And if somebody said to me, I live in Peoria, do you have a shop? Yeah, I want you to go to Mike's. He's a good guy. That paid dividends, and I think we all learned from that. But thank you for noticing, Michael. Thank you. The phone number, the rest of you, is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We have five, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. If you have a car question or a car problem, please give us a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you, I told you, a little while ago about Larry Harker's Auto, and they still are going to be, even though I'm not doing radio, the list of the best shops in Phoenix, according to Mark Salem, will still be on my website, marksalem.com. Let me tell you about another one, Automatic Transmission Exchange. I've told you this 100 times. Phil and his staff are transmission diagnostic experts, transmission repair, oil leaks, doesn't shift right, on and on and on. Phil and Barney Rubble were born and raised together, and he started on cars with wooden tires and concrete tires. So he knows about the transmissions from the first day until the automatics that are 8 speeds and computer controlled today. So if you have a transmission problem, a leak, a drivability problem, and somebody says you have to replace the transmission, it's worth taking the time to stop by Phil at Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, and ask him what his opinion is. Let's go to the phones. By the way, the phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Jack, how can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Hey, like the previous caller, I'll miss you too. I really enjoyed your sage advice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I got a question. I got a 2000 F-150 V6, and something curious happened. The AC got low, the refrigerant, and so we took it to the shop, and they recharged it. And it lasted about 15 minutes, and then it looked like the belt started to get tight and white smoke coming out, and the compressor had a hard time turning, so we turned it off. But I guess my question for you is, what's your experience with recharging an AC system and then having a problem perhaps with the clutch or the compressor? What's reasonable to expect on a on an old truck like that?
Oh, I want to tell you something. I walked that path, and I know a lot about that path. And here's the answer to your question, and it's not going to really help you any, but after it gets fixed, everybody will know what's going on. Let me give you an example. In the old days, it was by guess and by golly how much Freon we put in the system. Some guys would count to 10. Some guys would count to 30. Some guys would look at their pressure gauges. All of that was flat BS. Today, we look at a sticker and it says 3.2 pounds. We hook up a machine and we punch in 3.2 pounds. The machine puts 3.2 pounds and the thing blows ice cubes after that. If you overcharge it, you could cause a problem with the clutch and the compressor. So if it's overcharged, now look at your receipt, because most of the time it's going to say 4.1 pounds, 3.2 pounds, 2.6 pounds, and then you'll know that they have a piece of equipment that is very specific. Now, the other thing could be is that if it has the proper amount of Freon in it and the compressor gave up the ghost, how many miles are on this vehicle?
About 250.
Okay, is this the first compressor? Have you done one before?
No, this is the first and original, and, you know, it was spinning before just fine. It just didn't have enough cool air or refrigerant in it, but...
Okay, and see, what happens is it's going to spin. Once we engage the clutch, then it's going to spin, and behind the pulley is where we're going to compress everything and make everything happen. As the compressor comes apart inside, then sometimes we feel like that it's just an overpressure system, or the fan clutch isn't working, or the orifice tube is plugged up. We got all these different kinds of things, and so oftentimes the industry will dance around, and then they'll put exactly the amount of Freon in it, but nobody knows that the compressor is on its last legs.
Okay.
And so obviously that's where you're at. Now, what would be important is that when you've replaced the compressor, hopefully they're going to replace the orifice tube, which is the tube that meters the flow of Freon through the whole system. They're going to replace the accumulator because that's really the filter of the Freon and the oil and stuff like that. This is going to be a big bill. This is going to be $350 to $500. And you have an evaporator underneath the dash, and hopefully it's not full of metal, but we're going to use compressed air to blow it out. Then you have a condenser in front of the radiator, and we're going to do the same thing, we, the industry.
Right.
But 250,000 miles, keep in mind that 200,000 miles, you've been around the girth of the earth 8 times. So when I see that, I say to myself, I know you're concerned about the 1, 2, 3 of how this happened, but at 250,000 miles on the original compressor, you got more than what you paid for when you bought that system. And
well,
so that doesn't make you feel any better. Where do you live? What part of town you live in?
Well, I'm in New Mexico. I got to tell you, I wished I lived somewhere near you, because you speak so highly of these mini shops. I'd love to take it to one of those, but it's not worth the drive over there.
Right. Well, where do you live in New Mexico? Are you anywhere near Road Forks on I-10?
No, I'm near Santa Fe.
Okay. Here's what I have to offer you. I want you to call a couple of parts stores in your area, maybe a Napa, maybe a CarQuest, maybe a couple of auto parts stores, and you say to them, you know, I'm new in the area, and I think it's a great idea to call the parts stores and say, hey, who buys parts from you? Who never returns them? Who never has a problem with their customer? Who's the old gray-haired guy that's been around 20 years, and he pays his bill on time?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you give me that advice, and I followed that. I'm my third or fourth shop now because, well, not sure those gray-haired guys really are. But let me ask you this. So what's your experience with the thing is old, I get it, and simply putting new refrigerant in it may have been overfilled, but what's your experience with a failure? Like, I mean, it's not seized up, it'll still spin, but it's struggling. So how often does that happen? What's your experience?
Well, first of all, you're way past what we normally see. We normally see major air conditionings, the accumulator, sometimes the evaporator, most of the times not the evaporator, the condenser and the compressor and the accumulator, which is a big filter. That's all contaminated with metal, and the system has just completely broke down. But you're way past that. This should be your third compressor you're putting on this at 200 plus thousand miles. Okay. In addition to that, here's what would interest me. Find a shop that can pull the Freon out and measure it, and then say to them, look at the sticker and tell me what the difference is. Now, if he calls you back and says the sticker's 28 ounces and you got 28 ounces in there, there was no overcharge. They didn't do anything wrong except miss the symptoms of your compressor going to compressor heaven. But if it calls for 19 ounces and the guy goes, well, I pulled 35 out of there, then you got a fight on your hands.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it back Monday morning. I did this Friday afternoon. I called him and told him. He says, well, bring it in Monday. So I'll take it in Monday, and he'll look at it, and then we'll talk.
Well, and then you say to him, it's perfectly acceptable. You say to him, I want you to pay particular attention to duplication of labor and duplication of parts. So just make sure I'm being treated fairly. And what you're saying is if you put 30 ounces of refrigerant in there, I don't want to pay for 30 ounces. If you put some oil in there, I don't want to pay for the oil. And some of that labor might transfer to the new one. We as shop owners, we like to say that first. I'm going to give you $140 credit right off the bat for your compressor because I know what it looks like and I know what you're talking about. So start with that kind of very calm, shake his hand kind of discussion and see what happens. Thanks, Jack. Okay. I got to run. I got to go do a commercial, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody, 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And my name is Mark Salem. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Jack, I got you on the line. I got to take care of some business, and then I'm going to get to you. But anybody else, we have four lines open, 602-508-0960. Action Auto Repair, Tom at Action Auto Repair at I-17 in Deer Valley, we've been friends since 1983. Folks, there's people that haven't been married as long as Tom and I have known one another. And I can tell you that I've referred people to his shop many times, and I've never had a complaint. I've had a lot of calls that said, hey, we're really grateful that you sent us there, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he's a good guy, and he knows the difference between right and wrong. He has ASE Master Certified Technicians, and that way they can diagnose and repair the car appropriately because basically they have a master's degree in auto repair. So if you live up in the area of I-17 in Deer Valley, Action Auto Repair is a good place to go. Let's go to the phones. Jack, good morning. How are you? Many of you know that I've been on the radio for a long time. I started in 1988, and here we are, 2023. And so I've been around the block a couple of times. I'm also an ASE Master Certified Technician, so I've taken all 8 of the automotive and light truck tests, and I've passed those every 5 years. Then you get to a point where you become an emeritus, which it's a fancy word for me, and semi-retired or retired, and you don't have to take the test anymore. That's what the best part about it for me was concerned was, is I don't have to take the test. But when you're an ASE certified technician and when you're a master, there are 8 tests. You have to pass all of them at the same time. And the environment where you take these tests eliminates any cheating, any discussion between the test takers, anything like that at all. It's a very sophisticated way to determine whether you have the skills to be certified in alignments, certified in tune-up, vehicle emissions, transmissions, air conditioning system, et cetera, et cetera. When you're a master tech, you've passed all 8 of them, but after so many years of service, and in my case more than 30 years of service with an ASE moniker, then they put you down as emeritus. So otherwise, you're a retired master technician. I no longer have to take the test, and frankly, I think I would pass all of them, but there may be one at the transmission side that I fall on my knees on. But I can give you good information, and if you have a question, then now's the time to call. We have 5 lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'll tell you about another shop in town that I've been around, and I just got through telling you that I've known Tom at Action Auto since 1983. Well, when you go to Sun City, I've known Chuck Nyde since 1982. Chuck is a good guy. He's been in the gas station business, and now he owns an RV facility as well as an auto repair shop. His staff knows, pretty much like my staff knows as well, no shenanigans. If we mess up, raise your hand. Make it right. Don't charge them. Tell them you're sorry. By the same token, make sure the technician has the symptoms, and he knows that he's going to fix these symptoms with his suggested repair. So you become an advocate for the customer. Now, there's great technicians out there. And, folks, if your kids are interested in being an auto repair technician, there's technicians out there right now that work a five-day work week that have a 401k that make in excess of $80,000 a year. Those guys are the top of the line. They're ASE Master Certified Technicians. They've been around the block a long time. So those are kind of what you're looking for. You're looking for those kinds of guys. Now, obviously, we can use a young man out of high school to do oil changes, tire rotations, tire replacement. Discount Tire is a good example of that. They hire a young man out of high school, and those young men are taught everything they need to know about tires, tire balancing, uneven tire tread wear, inflation, load, all that stuff. So there's lots of room in our industry if you want to be specialized, but when you're a master technician, you're saying, I can pass all the tests. And there's quite a few of us master technicians out there, and there's even more of us that are retired emeritus. and we got started when it was really tough to pass all the tests. And I will admit, it took me, I don't know, three or four times before I could get all eight tests. The ones that really got me good was transmission. And so that's just a skill all of its own. 602-508-0960. If you have a question about a repair, the first place you should stop is talk to the shop owner or the service manager and just say, and typically this is the story, I came in with a vibration and you balanced my tires and I still have the vibration. I know you didn't do that on purpose, but I would like to know where we go from here. Now, most of us are going to say, well, the diagnosis on this is going to be on our dime, because we missed the first one. So I'm not going to charge you. If you'd leave your car here, I'll give you a ride home, and we're going to put a couple of guys on it, and we're going to find the vibration. Then I'll call you and give you an estimate. And you don't have to pay me, because you've been a customer of mine for 11 years. You don't have to pay me for a week. You got a week to drive the car. If you come back and pay the bill, I'll know I got it. If I didn't get it, then at least call me and tell me, nope, you didn't get it. That means you don't have to pay for it. We do that a lot. Our industry does that a lot because we make mistakes, and that's all there is to it. It's how you recover from the mistake, and sometimes you have to just bite the bullet and write a check. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have five lines available. You can pick any one you want, and when you come through, Gil will say you want to talk to Mark, and you say yeah, and he'll ask you your name. We'll be back right after this.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. And Gil and I have just overcome some technical problems. And once again, and forever and ever, it's my fault. It's just my fault. We have some very sophisticated equipment, and I'm a car guy. And so when you start talking about Ethernet and tips and input bus and output bus and CC1 and CC4, I don't know what I'm doing. So I decided to take this particular little piece of equipment that costs a lot of money, that's as big as my hand, and just shut it down, pull the battery out, put everything back in, and voila, we're back in order. So 44 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, we have open lines available, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you want to ask questions or if you have a car question or anything like that at all, just give us a call. We're going to be here for 2 hours. We're going to go all the way until noon. And then you can also email me if you want, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. Gil, we don't have anybody in the wings, or do we have? Okay. Michael, good morning. How can we help you?
How are you today? I have a question. It's a little bit of an odyssey. I have a 2016 Chevy Silverado pickup truck. It's one of the service trucks in my business. And we were in a job in Yuma, and the battery was dragged. It was late in the afternoon. I didn't want to take a chance. I took it straight to one of the big auto stores and had the battery replaced. It instantly worked. Drove home. Everything was fine. Got up the next morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to work, and I couldn't see the highway. So I pull over. I get to my shop. I pull up, pull right up to the door, and there's almost no illumination. I get out, and one headlight is out, completely out. The other one looks really milky. So I immediately took it to a little shop around the corner that changes our oil and everything, and he says, oh, yeah, you got a bad headlight. I said, well, the other one doesn't look good. He says, well, I'll take a look at it. He called me up and says, you got one bad headlight. They're HIDs, and the other one was coming out. So I put that one back in. It works. Put the new HID in, and it's $180, I think, something like that. I don't remember. So I said, okay, no problem. I paid for it. Took it. Next morning, get up, start down the road, and there's just really no illumination. So I pull up to my shop. I pull right up to our roll-up door, and it will hardly illuminate the roll-up door. I look out, and they're both really milky. I take it back to him, and he says, yeah, looks like they one of them fell out, and but now the other one's bad. I said, okay. And so I don't argue with him, and he says, okay, I put it back in, and I replace the other one, so now I buy another headlight.
Okay, but we have to get to the end of this story, okay?
So let me get to the end of the story. Long story, I go to another shop, finally. I go to the other shop, and they say, yeah, you've got two bad headlights, and they installed them incorrectly, and it ruined the ballast. Now you need the entire thing. So I paid $1,400 for two headlights. So the next day they don't work again. I go back, and finally they look at it and says, yeah, there's a little band that goes around the outside. There's a headlight that holds them in, and that was missing. Although I bought two new headlights from them, that was missing. Now we put that in, and these little tines that hold it in, the other guys had bent them incorrectly, and now we fixed them. But I don't understand that because I bought two new headlights. And so now I'm at $1,400, and I bought three different headlights.
Okay,
so what do you think's going on?
Well, I don't know, and neither do you. The tang he's talking about is in the socket. It's not on the headlight.
Right, so, no, I know that. He took pictures of it. I'm aware of that.
Okay.
But they didn't. He said they were bent incorrectly.
Okay. I don't know. There's no way I can do an autopsy on this. If your headlights are fixed, then we have to assume that they did it right. You've got three shops involved, one, two,
nope.
And then the successful guy. So
no,
with
I have two
that,
shops.
Three shops?
I have two shops. One screwed it up twice, and then these guys put it in twice.
Okay. You've got multiple shops involved, and you've got multiple repairs involved. So you need to sit down and figure out what you want. And then you go to the shops that have been involved in this, with the exception of probably the one that fixed it. And you're going to say to them, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I would like very much if you would look at this and see if there's any going to be. And here's the deal. You didn't fix it. I had the same problem the next morning. Now, the shop owner may say to you, hey, how come you didn't bring it back to me? And then you'll have to answer that. Well, I had it in twice. And so I thought a fresh pair of eyes would be good for me and you. So you can talk to the shop owner. But if you paid with a credit card, you can also stop payment on that card.
Yeah, I hate to do that because they're kind of it. But the first shop flat told me, Mike, I don't know, maybe you should take it somewhere else. I'm confused. That's what the first shop told me. I'm confused. Okay, no offer of a refund, that's fine. I took it to the second shop. They fixed it once, told me that the headlights were bad, replaced headlights, and then told me that it was installed improperly the first time. That was a problem, even though I bought the new headlights.
Okay, well, we've already been over that. It doesn't. I can't reconstruct this. I can't start all over. I think you need to determine what you want, and I think you need to go to the shops that perhaps didn't fix your problem but charged you and see if you can come to some kind of an agreement. If not, you can file a Better Business Bureau complaint against them, or you can go to your credit card company and say, I want to stop payment on this particular bill because he didn't do anything that furthered my problem. He charged me money, and he didn't fix the problem, and here's the repair bill that did fix the problem. That's how I'd handle it.
Well, okay. I'm just trying to figure out.
I just gave you. I've been in dispute resolution since 1982. I work for the government. I work for the courts. I work for the Superior Court for the state of Arizona, the Supreme Court. I've been on committees for them. I'm real aware. That's your only option. The only other option is go find that attorney that's on television and have him sue everybody. And then you're going to have to hire an expert that's going to be $250 to $400 an hour about auto repair stuff. So, I mean, a lot of this is there's good, not a lot. There's going to be some responsibility for you. But the issue is that somebody didn't do it right. Somebody didn't do it right. Then somebody did it right. And now you have the proof, and now you can just go back to them. I would start with the shop owners. But if that's the first time you've been in there, there's chances of getting their attention are slim and none. But if you go to a shop and you've been there many, many times and you say, this is what you did and it didn't fix it, and this is what he did and it did fix it, I was wondering if we can work something out. If they value you as a customer, they're going to work something out. I want to tell you, once a month I write a check. Once a month I write a check. But again, it's really worth, are you worth keeping? So if I have somebody that comes in for the very first time and tells us to rebalance their tires, we rebalance their tires, and they come back and they say, I still have the vibration. And then we say, wait a minute, you didn't tell us about vibration. You instructed us to balance the tires, which means you did your own diagnosis. And so what's the problem? Well, I need you to fix it. Well, I know, but it's going to cost you money. Why don't you take one of our techs with you? So he takes the tech. This is the true story. Takes the tech, and the tech comes back and he goes, he's got a separation on the right rear tire. It just vibrates your butt like crazy. We lift it up on the hoist, and there's a big old egg on the tire. And the guy, this is what he said. You must have done that. At that point, I am done with him. I drop the car down. I pull it around front of the shop. I give him the keys, and I said, your customer file's been canceled. You need to go to your tire company and get a new tire. We didn't cause that problem. We misdiagnosed it, and here's your $22. Don't ever come back. Because that's what happens. That's what you kind of have to do. But you're on your own, but I'm just giving you the very best advice I can give you. And there chances of you recovering after all this going on, all of your money is pretty slim. Who have you got next? Tim, good morning. How can I help you?
Oh, hi, Mark. You know, this is the second time I've called you, and sad to see that you're going to be going because I listen to you and I do my chores on Saturdays. What I'm calling about today is air conditioner issue. I had coolant put in it, and it's cooling now. But after they finished the coolant, they told me that there's something wrong with the fan on it. And they wanted to charge me almost $170 to diagnose it. I felt that they were already working on it, and I don't know why I should have to pay that much for a diagnosis. So I thought I'd ask you.
Okay.
What do I do?
What did you take it in for? Did you take it in for an air conditioning issue?
Yes.
Okay. And let me ask you a question. The air conditioning issue, did it have anything to do between the performance of the AC unit and the temperature coming out of the vents and the speed of the vehicle? Was there a really... Here, this is what I'm looking for. When you pull up to a traffic light, the air conditioning gets warm. When you're driving down the freeway, the air conditioning is ice cold. Is that possible in your case?
Yes, it was doing that right when just before I took it in, I noticed that.
Okay, all right. That's a fan problem. That's a fan problem. Here, think about it. You're sitting at a traffic light. We have the electric fans, clutch fans, and they're sucking air across the condenser and the radiator. So when you're sitting at a stop, we're moving air across the condenser, which is in front of the radiator, and the condenser is part of your air conditioning system, and then we're moving it through the radiator. When you go on down the freeway, we disengage the clutch, and because the wind is going to blow through the radiator and do all of its stuff it needs to do, you have classic symptoms of a fan problem. So the question is what do I do next? Here's the answer. Go and have them fix it. Keep your old part and have them fix it. Go back to the first shop in a nice way and say, here's your repair order, and this is what you did, but I left with the same symptoms. I went to another shop, and he replaced this part, and that fixed it. So would you look at my repair order and see if there's any kind of a refund you can give me? I'm sure I benefited from some of what you did, but I didn't benefit all the way from what you did. So I'll give you some time. Here's my phone number. Give me a call whenever you get a chance. If he doesn't call you back, he's telling you I don't want you as a customer and I'm an idiot. If he calls you back and says, hey, what is it you want? You know, just will you give me half my bill back? And I'd say, oh, yeah. I was going to give you all of it back if you asked for it. Heck yes, I'll give you half of it back. So your symptoms match a fan diagnosis. So I think the guy that diagnosed the fan knows what he's doing. He should make the repair. The first guy, I think if you talk to him nicely and give him time to decide what he wants to do, I think you might win that discussion.
Okay. Well, I guess it could be the fan, it could be the computer, or it could be some kind of a switch.
You didn't listen to what I said. You didn't listen to what I said. Your symptoms is not a fuse. It's not a computer. It's not anything. It's air movement across the radiator and the condenser. Okay, if you're sitting at a traffic light, you got no air movement if the fan's off. If you're driving down the highway, we don't need the doggone fan. Because you're driving down the highway, there's enough air running across the evaporator, the condenser, the condenser. So, on one hand, you asked me to diagnose it for you. I agree 100% with the guy that said the fan's bad. That's the best I can do. I think you're barking up the wrong tree if you try to get everybody to fit your square box. I think you've got a good case. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You can grab one. Let me tell you about Blackwell Automotive. First of all, Tom doesn't know anything about cars because I've taught him everything he knows. When you say that to him, he's going to giggle like a little girl. He's up at 40th Street in Greenway. I've known him for 10, 15 years. Both of us are cut from the same cloth. We both think we know everything, but every once in a while, somebody will tell us we didn't and show us why. And it's just how well you can eat crow. And that happens to me. That happens to just about every shop in town. You misdiagnose it, or you make a repair that doesn't fix the problem, or you cause something to happen. Not too long ago, the technician forgot to put the radiator cap on a car, and the car made it about 6 miles, and the steam out of the underneath the hood, and we got it towed back in, and there's nothing you can say. You say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm going to put your cooling system back together. We lost the cap. I'm going to put a new cap on there, and here's the symptoms that I want you to look out after. I want to see if the needle goes high, and if it gets in the three-quarter mark, please shut it off and call me. If the needle stays between half and three quarters for the next 3 or 4 weeks, then we dodged a bullet. I'm sorry we did that. I'll make it right. Let me know. And I've set the parameters about what I... You can't call me 6 months later and say that it overheated because 6 months is too long. If I did something wrong, it's going to show its ugly face within the first 100 miles in this particular case. So 602-508-0960. We have 5 lines, and they're all open. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem, and we've got one more week of Mark Salem, which is next week. And after that, I'll be history. I don't know who's going to fill my spot, but hopefully you'll give them the same kind of caller load and the same kind of discussion as you've given me, because I'm very appreciative of that. So we'll be back talking about cars, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We have Dan on the line. I'm going to get to him in just a minute. That means we have 4 open lines, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, it's easy, ladies and men. Let's talk about year, make, and model of the car, and then let's talk about symptoms. It's not productive for you to tell me what all the different shops says. I need to see the symptoms. What's it doing that's abnormal? Where's it going? How fast is it? If it's a vibration, is it in the seat of your pants or is it in the steering wheel? That's what I do best. So if you've got a problem and you want to just discuss the problem based on symptoms, 602-508-0960. Kurtz Auto's been on my list of the best car repair shops since Jesus was a baby. Kurtz is a great guy, been around since 1987. He handles gas and diesel. He has ASE-certified technicians. He's at I-17 in Bell Road. But let me tell you what happened. Kurtz had a lady come in, and she had been told her motor was bad. Kurt fixed her car for $32. She was so grateful to him. So she called me up and told me the story. I called Kurt, and I said, hey, what'd you do? And he goes, we replaced the oil pressure switch. The red light was on, but it had oil pressure. It wasn't noisy. It wasn't clattering. He said, so it had to be the oil pressure switch. So I thought it's either the gauge on the dash or the oil pressure switch that talks to the gauge on the dash. He said, I put an oil pressure switch in and fixed it. And I said, well, gee, she thinks you walked on water. And he goes, well, we do. And I said, no, you don't. I don't either. But that's how I met Kurtz. And, of course, he's got a young man that works for him. I think it's his son-in-law. And between the two of them, they can fix anything except a crack of dawn and a broken heart. So if you're up on I-17 in Bell and you don't have a repair shop, then may I suggest that you go to Kurtz Auto at I-17 in Bell on the northeast corner. Dan, good morning. Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Really sorry to hear that your show is coming to an end. I really enjoy listening over the years.
Thank you.
And I say that because I have an 02 Grand Caravan, an 03 Grand Caravan, and an 04 Nissan Pathfinder. So I listen to you quite a bit. But I love them all. But most recently, about a half an hour ago, I was driving down the street, and there's a problem with my radio.
Okay.
People keep calling this guy and asking him about problems with their vehicles, and the nice man, Mr. Salem, keeps giving them information and advice, and then they argue with him. So I don't know what's wrong with my radio.
I want to tell you something. When I started on the air in 1988, Jim Tazarek, who's since passed, but he's like a father to me, he said to me, kid, if you think you're going to just thump your chest about your shop for an hour or two, you got another thing coming. You take care of my callers. So that's how I started. And I was scared of him. He was a very intimidating man. He was really big. His head was as big as a basketball, and he was a former cop in St. Louis. Him and I became very good friends. He made it very clear he was very proud of me, but he also mentored me. He said, don't thump your chest about your shop. Don't talk about your shop. Send him to a shop you know that's going to take care of him, and ask him lots of questions to narrow down their symptoms versus the cause. So I really do owe a lot to Jim Tazarek. But then Jim Ryan from KKNT was my next manager, and he, the station manager, he also gave me some advice that helped me along. So there's lots of people that have helped me. Rosemary Scarfo from KTAR. I've been mentored, Pat McMahon. I've been mentored by the very best, so a lot of it goes to them. But thank you for noticing. Thank you very much.
Well, I do have one question, some advice, okay, and your opinion. Since I do have quite a few vehicles, I'm certainly not a collector. I just happen to have some vehicles to get around town for different reasons. But I'm often faced with rotating my vehicles to keep them running, and I'm wary about putting the float chargers or battery maintainers on them. There's so many out there. For anywhere from $10 at Harbor Freight to $200 at Pep Boys, is there really any difference with some of these products just to maintain an older vehicle's battery?
Yes, but let me ask you a question first. How many times have you got to go from vehicle A to vehicle B and vehicle B is dead?
Oh, probably once a year.
Okay. And how long is each
on the battery?
Okay, how long is each vehicle in service?
When I rotate them, I like to drive it for about a week straight to work and back and around.
Okay.
And it's unfortunate. This is also happens in the summer. My family typically spends the summer on the East Coast. So I'm rotating between two and four vehicles throughout the hot summer months.
Okay. Let's talk about 12 months. How many times do you get in and it goes click, click, click?
Oh, geez. At least once with each vehicle.
Okay. Okay, the difference between these chargers is the amount of amps. So they'll all go. A fully charged battery, by the way, is 13 volts. Okay, fully charged battery. A battery that's 12.1 is 10%. The alternator is going to give you 13 to 13.5 over whatever the battery started with. So if the battery is at 12 volts and you start it up, then it's going to go to 13.4 to 13.8. That means the alternator is working. A battery that's defective, and the battery that's shorted loses its voltage from 13, and then it goes down, and then 12, and then 11.8, and then 11.6. That's the one that you're trying to save with your battery tender. I suggest to you that that's not a good idea because you can overheat the tender or you can overheat the battery. If you have a battery that won't hold a charge and it's been checked for draws and shorts, and let me tell you how easy that is. We have this inductive amp probe, and we go over and we grab all the negative cables or all the positive cables. then we look at the amp draw and it says 0.02. Well, we know the computer is, that's the keep alive memory in the computer, so we're not worried about that. So we get in the car and we open the door and all of a sudden, boom, it goes from 0.2 to 8 volts. And so we go, ooh, that's interesting. On the other hand, if it goes to 12 or 12 and a half volts, it's okay. So we're going to look and run some tests to see if you even have a bad battery, because when you get the click, 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 it's 9 out of 10 times it's the battery, and one time the dome light was left on, the trunk light was left on, the radar detector was still plugged into the cigarette lighter, and it's typically a self-induced problem. But if you want to, go get your battery tender and just look for the amp and the volt on the output side. Out, it'll say input and output. So get the biggest number you can on the output side, and it'll be in amps and volts. That's all you do.
All right. And do you have a recommendation for the actual battery tender? If I was to buy one or two of them, what type, what am I looking for in the product description?
Anyway, did that make sense to you? Just look at the battery tender, and in there it's going to have input and output. I'm interested in the output side. So if one of them says 3 amps and one of them says 7 amps, I get the 7 amp. If one of them says a half a volt and one of them says a third of a volt, I'd take the half a volt. That's what I'd do.
All right. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. Well, next week, you're probably going to want to listen to the show, and I rarely say that because next week my family is going to be on with me. So that's my daughter, my son, and my wife. I am quite sure that they're going to share things with you about their dad and their husband, stuff that is not going to necessarily be real flattering, because I'm the kind of guy that does not belong in a HOA community. I'm as you can imagine, I'm kind of a rebel, and I'm a former policeman. And we got married, my wife and I will be married 50 years in February, and we were both married when we were 10, whether you believe that or not. The idea is that I am somebody who's pretty principled about what he thinks and stuff like that. But there's a lot of car guys out there. I'm going to keep my website up, marksalem.com, and I'm going to keep that list of shops that I know the owners, and I've talked to all of them. And I have their cell phone numbers. And if you have a complaint about one of my shops, piece of cake. I'm going to get their attention on your behalf. And then if you're not happy with the outcome, that's when I get involved. And so that's kind of how it works. Who we got next, Gil? David, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Hey, I just wanted to call when I heard you were going to be leaving the radio, that I just want you to know that personally I really appreciate all your stories, all your advice, everything I've heard over the radio. And the current shop that I go to, I got it because of one of your ads for the shop. And I just and I've called in and given kudos to Kurtz before, but these guys, based on your recommendation, have done a great job for me and my family. So anyways, I just wanted to call and say thank you for all that you've done, for the service that you provided all these years.
Thank you for that, David. Folks, let me tell you how seriously I take my list of good car repair shops. But I also want to brag. It's been 5 or more years since I've had to get involved in a dispute between one of my shops and a customer. It's been more than 5 years. I have, and I tell you that if the shop won't, if I determine the shop was wrong and the shop won't jump up and take care of it, I will. That's never happened since 1988. Never happened. I've never had to come out of pocket to make a customer happy because the shop always does. It's not a matter of me going there and telling the shop what's going on and how the cow ate the cabbage. Nothing of that is true. The fact of the matter is that I say to the shop, you got an unhappy customer, here's their name and phone number, or if they have this kind of car, look them up. The shop brings the customer in, they have a discussion. Then the shop calls me and says, this is mine. I know Kurtz did that not too long ago. This is mine. And I said, thank you. Sometimes they say, this is a little questionable. And I said, okay, well, send me an email about your side. I call the customer. Send me the email about your side. They both have to agree in advance they will accept my determination. And there's no specifics. It's not 50% of the time on the shop side and 50% of the, that has nothing to do with it. It's right and wrong. There's customers out there that have expectations that are, I told them to fix my air conditioning unit. Now my water pump's bad. And they were the last ones to work in that area. Yeah. Okay. I had my toenails trimmed and now I have a bad knee. And I want the toenail trimmer to fix my bad knee. That's as silly as it gets. But I want to tell you, if I've had 100 over the year of, over the last 35 years, if I've had 100 complaints, and that's a huge number that isn't even true, I may have had a, at the end of the day, I may have had a bad customer three times. An unhappy customer three times, I should say, because they're mad at me and they're mad at the shop, and I've already investigated it, and I, unfortunately, you took your car in, and 6.5 months later, you took your car in, and they told you you needed a water pump, and you think that they caused your water pump to fail, and I say to the customer, if you gave me the keys to your car, I could not promise you that I can cause your water pump to fail. The water pump fail is like a light bulb. 1 minute it's good, and the next minute it ain't. The shop cannot make your water pump fail. It can't. So, anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and here's the good news. We got five open lines. So when you call in, you're going to talk to our staff, and you're going to say, I want to talk to Mark, and they're going to say, what's your name? And then they're going to whisper in my ear, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. And let me just confess to you that over the years, since 1988, I've been on the radio. And the reason I'm as good as I am is because of the board ops. Those are the guys that run the board. They take the calls. They whisper in my ear. You got Steve. You got Chris. You got John. And then they keep my levels right, and they keep me on my clock. Because, see, folks, when they want me to break at 17 after the hour, they don't want 17:20. They want 17. At the bottom of the hour, it's 30. It's not 31 and it's not 29. 30 minutes exactly. And 40 minutes exactly, and 58:50 is my out time. The board ops at here at KKNT, we're talking about Gil and Jeremy. They're probably the best ones I've ever worked for in my entire career. They just keep me on track. And then they'll each give me a 15 seconds so that I drop my eyes to the clock and goes, okay, I need to be out at 30. Thank you for the 15 second. Look, Mark, you're going to miss this. So I am what I am, but the real reason I'm as good as I am, or at least people think I am, is because of the two guys, Gil and Jeremy. Let's go to the phones and let's talk to Steve. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking the call. And, I have a question on tires for you. And you and I have Dodge Dualies, and I tow a heavy 43-foot fifth wheel, and I'm getting ready to throw some new tires on. I had some Toyo Open Country ATs, and I wasn't really happy with the wear this time. And I know you tow a lot of heavyweight, too. What are some of the recommendations you have for us dually haulers with heavyweight?
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions. Tell me, is the abnormal wear front axle or back?
I would say back.
Okay, fair enough. Describe the wear. Is it edge wear or center of the tire wear? Where's the abnormal wear on the tread?
I don't know if I'd call it abnormal wear, but the wear that I'm getting is on the outside edges.
Okay, wow. That's very unusual. Is it possible that outside edge wear came from when the tires were on the front of the vehicle? Because we expect a little outside wear, because that when you turn right and left, the tire leans over to the left and leans over to the right. So we're going to wear that outside edge. Let me just confess to you something. I have your tires on my truck. We sell the hell out of Toyo tires. We're not going to install anything else but those. We love them because they'll handle the weight. And so in my truck, pretend I have, you know, a 20,000-pound load on the back of it. Well, I got four tires. Each one of those tires better be able to carry 5,000 pounds or more. So we like toils, and we inflate them a little higher than the minimum to give them a little bit of better weight. And the tire runs cooler if it's aired up to its maximum inflation. Now, some of the guys don't like that because it makes it for a rough ride without the horse trailer or without the trailer with the, you know, bobcat on it or the excavator. But in reality, you adjust the air pressure based on your load. I would like, what part of town do you live in?
I'm in Cave Creek.
Okay. I'd like you to come south and go to Kurtz at I-17 and Bell. Call them and ask them if you can stop by, and I'd like to see from their eyes what your wear is. It's really unusual for you to have outside edge wear on the back axle. I don't know that I've ever fixed anything because of that. If the axle was bent, you'd have a hell of a vibration and a variety of other symptoms. But is it possible that the two outers came off the front?
It's real possible because I do rotate between 5,000 and 6,000 miles, and they do rotate to the front of the truck from the back.
Okay, so the fronts go to the inside duals, and then the outside duals go to the front, which is typically what everybody does, and that's what we do too. Here's the deal. The tire's going to roll over on its outside edge when you make a right turn or a left turn. If your trailer is heavy, and I'm walking this a careful line, and let me tell you, heavy in my world is more than max. So, you know, I'm hauling some equipment that I probably am and right at the gross combined weight rating, truck, trailer, and load. So if your outside edge is wearing, then there's nothing on the rear end that's going to only wear the outside edge. It has to come from the front. Now, under those conditions, there's a lot of times that we have so much weight in the back of the truck, we're lifting the front of the truck up, and we're scrubbing the tires a tad when we make a turn to the right or to the left. And that's the only possibility. That's the only possibility, because in overinflation wears the center, underinflation wears both the inner edge and the outer edge, and you and I know that it's just the outside edge. So you can air up your tires a little bit more, but do a six-tire rotation next time. The inners to the front, the fronts to the outers, and the outers to the inners. So it's a six-way rotation, and you'll eliminate what you've got. But I'm not going to do a commercial for Toyo. I'm just going to tell you, we sell hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Toyo tires annually. And Alan has them on his truck. My wife has them on her car. I have them on mine. My daughter, my whole family is sitting on Toyos. I don't do commercials for Toyos, but I can tell you, I like the company. I really like the company.
Can you tell me what model that you're running on your dually? Or your what?
Open Countries.
Open Country, yeah. AT2s or 3s? Or?
I don't know the answer to that. Do you have a pencil handy?
I don't.
Okay. I want you to look up SalemBoysAuto.com, and I want you to call the number. It's really simple. It's 480-598-1234. So look for a 1234. Call Alan, my son. And he's in Minnesota right now. He'll be back in a couple of days. He had to take a motor home to East for a friend of his. So you're going to talk to Alan, and you're going to say, what has your dad had? And this is what I got. And talk to him about it, because he knows Toyos better than anybody I know.
Okay, very good. I really appreciate the help. Thank you.
You betcha. Chris, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. How's it going? Sad to hear you're going, but... I have a pretty truck, meaning I don't drive it much, and my battery lasted 4 years, and I'm going to put a new one in. I plan on keeping the truck for another 3 years or so. Should I put a Yellow Top Optima, or should I put, like, the second best, the gel, because I don't want to do the cheapy ones that last, they say, 2 years and don't even last 2 years.
I don't like either one you offered me.
Okay.
I think you should buy an Interstate or a Delco.
Okay.
That's what I think. That's what's in all of our cars. That's what we sell the heck out of. A battery's biggest problem is vibration, so we need to make sure that we fasten the battery to the tray. That's a guarantee. We can't have it bouncing around because it won't last that long. The average battery that Mark Salem sells lasts between 3 and 4 years. Rarely do we get 5 years out of anything. It depends on how many cycles we had, how many cold and hot starts. It matters on miles and how much did we turn left and turn right and how much did we go straight. All of that matters. But
yeah, that's the problem. I don't drive it that much.
Okay, 3 to 5 years is about where most of my customers are at, but we do Interstates and Delcos. Those are the two we got.
And I can get those at?
You just get on the internet and start searching, you know, AutoZone, Pep Boys, all that kind of stuff until you find one of those two batteries.
Okay, and you don't like the other guys because they're not as good a quality as the ones you recommend, and that makes
I'll answer your question right after this break. Welcome back, everybody. Let's look at the clock here, 34 minutes after the hour, and we're going to go back to Chris. And Chris asked me about brands of battery. Let me tell you that it is well known that the heavier batteries typically last a little longer than the ones that are lighter because it has to do with the plates and the insulator and the capacity of the battery. I ran a mobile station in 1979. I got in a lot of trouble because I sold Delco batteries a lot instead of the mobile brand. And I've been a Delco guy since day one because, in my opinion, my customers with Delco batteries simply don't change them as often as the rest of them. So I called my parts guy, Jeff, who's my manager of parts during the break, and I said, what brand do we sell of batteries? What's the predominant brand? And he goes, you know the answer to that. And I said, Jeff, just spot me the answer. He goes, Delco. I said, do we do anything else? He says, yeah, every once in a while, Delco doesn't have the model we need, but we'll go to Interstate. And I said, okay, but Delco. And he goes, 99 out of every 100 batteries that we install are Delcos. And I said, okay. So, Chris, that's what we do. We sell lots of batteries and tires, and as a result of that, Delco seems to be our choice. But there's certainly a number two and a number three out there. So if you want to shop price, try this, weight and price. And then you buy the one that weighs the most for the cheapest price. That's the key, okay?
Awesome. Beautiful. Have a great life. Okay. Enjoyed you for 30 years or so that you've been on. I've been here since 95, listening to you every Saturday.
Thank you for that.
Even when you were with Rosie.
And then let me just tell you, too, all of you that are listening, our shop is still open. Now, you'll notice.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Okay, that we've never said the name of our shop because it's not about our shop. It's about customers, other people's customers, and symptoms and repairs and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to change the way that we've done business forever and ever because Jim Tazrak told me, if you think this is going to be an hour-long commercial for your shop, you got another thing coming, kid. And that's hung with me all that time. But I'm one show away from my retirement. We own Salem Boys Auto in Tempe. If we can help you, give my daughter, Andy, or my son, Alan, a call, and they'll fit you in. Let's go to John. John, you're up next. How can I help you? Hi, John.
I think you got my name wrong. It's Don.
Don, I did get your name wrong. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
No, that's his. I think he said that. But anyways, I only found you about a year ago.
Okay.
And I've learned a lot from you in that year.
Thank you.
I'm going to miss you. All I wanted to say.
Okay, well, I hope you continue to patronize us because I'm still kind of the matriarch, but I'm sure you've probably met my daughter Andy and my son Alan, and I haven't had anybody that didn't like them in the last 10 years. Andy's my youngest of three, and she runs the operation because Alan, my oldest of the three, is not allowed to be around money because you know and I know that everybody has one kid that goes through money like toothpaste. And Alan's one of those guys. So Andy runs the money, and Alan runs the shop. And between the two of them, they bring a lot to the table that more than Renee and I did, my wife did for many years. So thank you for saying that, and hopefully we continue to do a good job for you. Thank you, Don. Harry, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, hey, sorry you're coming to the end of your trail here, but I'm happy for you that you're going to have a good retirement afterwards.
Thank you. Thank you.
The only thing that I was wondering, on your best car repair shops, is that still going to be in existence? Or?
Yes, I'm going to tell you this. We made the decision not too long ago. We obviously charge them a pittance amount to be on the list. They can't buy their way onto the list, but I have to check them out myself. We're going to continue that list. We're going to leave it the way it is. We're not going to charge them a dime. They have supported me for 35 years. And they've never let me down. I had a couple of shops that I had to remove quietly because they're being stupid. But the guys I got on the list now, so it's going to be there until the kids decide that it's not going to be there anymore, but they understand the benefit of that for our customers and everybody else. So the answer to your question is the Best Car Repair Shops is going to live on. However, there'll be no membership fees, no charges associated to the shop, because these guys got us where we're at today. So we're going to pay them back.
Well, that's really good. That's nice to know. I can't wait to listen to your show next week. I imagine your family's going to
roast me.
Be interesting.
Yeah, they're all planning on roasting me and telling stories about me. Alan said the other day, he said, what do you think your callers are going to think when I tell them about the time that you set that car on fire? And I said, well, if you only tell them that I set a lot of cars on fire. You know, you're spraying carburetor cleaner into the air intake, and this guy's, you know, cranking the engine over. But what you don't know is the timing chain slipped, so the spark's going to be there when it's not supposed to be there, and all of a sudden you're going to have this big flame come out of the top of the carburetor, and you better have a fire extinguisher close by. And so I told him, I'm just going to tell him the truth. I made a mistake. It was a stupid mistake. But here's the deal. I can control their microphones. So they're going to, my wife and my kids are going to sit, you know, in the studio, but I can control their microphones. But they, you know, I'm not going to hide from anything they say. They're going to talk about their dad in an honest way, and I don't care. I'm perfectly happy with that. So thank you for that.
Well,
thank you very much.
Good trails ahead. You and Renee, hope you guys have a good travel a little bit and enjoy it.
Well, we do. Thank you very much for that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to take more calls, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 42 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We're going to go straight to the phones. Henry, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, I guess this will be the last stupid question asked by me in all my little surveys I used to ask. I've got a wife, girlfriend at home who is, I call her Your Honor, because she bangs that door shut like a gavel. I've got an S-Class and an SLK 350. How do I tactfully tell her to close the door gently?
I can tell you that. Will you make an extra $5 donation to the plate next time it passes you?
I will donate that car.
Oh, no, don't do that. This is what you tell her, and it's the truth. I heard on Mark Salem's show the other day that when people slam their doors, they don't understand that the insides of the door, which is the regulator and the motor and the switches that stop it when it goes down and stop it when it goes up, they don't understand how fragile that is. And oftentimes when we have to go in and we take the door panel off, we take the window out, and we got to rebuild that son of a gun, the bill's going to be somewhere as little as $450 and upwards to $1,000 if we have to do the window regulator and the window frame and all that kind of stuff. It happens a lot. And when we look at the car, we see the passenger door, the driver's door, has got a lot more wear than the opposite door is. So, and you said that these were Mercedes, didn't you?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let me just take my price and just double it. So
can I just tell her that I get to slam the lady down the street every time she slams one of my doors?
You know, I'm not quite sure that as a marriage counselor I can give you a good answer to that, but I think that's a bad answer, and I hope she doesn't have a rifle, and I hope she's not going to hit you in the butt with some birdshot. I don't think that's a good idea. I think what I told you was the best. The guy on the car, he said something about that. He says, every time we do $800 to $1,000 worth of window work, it's because somebody slams the door. And so,
love you, Mark.
All right. Thank you. All right. Good luck. Tony, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey there, Mark. I'm calling to, you know, just give you respect for everything you've been doing.
Thank you.
Especially on this show. And all the Q&As we've had together talking about the vehicles and the honest answers that you give me. You know, maybe sometime I didn't like them, but I realized you were telling me the truth. You know, you're
thank
a good
you
man. You're a really, really good man.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And I know you're going to have fun and a good time hiding up there and pacing.
Did you say Pace? Yes, yes. I've got some horse property up there, and I've been a cowboy for a long time, but I live up there about half my life, and my wife and I live up there together. So, but we don't use phones up there because we don't need them. Our cell phones work perfectly. But thank you for your kind words. They meant a lot to me. Thank you, Steve. You're up next. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. It's tough to follow that call.
Yeah.
You definitely have a following out here, and I was certainly been one of them over the years. But I do have a question. In addition to saying a big thank you to everything you've done,
thank you.
I have a 2002 Chevy Tahoe, and it starts really hard, and so the first time in the morning it starts right up, and then after it warms up, if I take it to work or even just take it to the gym, short drive, once the engine gets warmed up, when I get back in it to try to start it, it starts really hard, and it will always turn over, but it almost is like it's not getting gas or it's not getting something.
Okay.
I'm nervous to just take it in and kind of turn it over.
Let me guess intelligently about this, because you've given me good stuff. So what I hear you saying is during a good startup, I hit the key, boom, starts right up. There's times where I hit the key and it goes, and it doesn't catch and it doesn't start. And that's going to be a fuel problem. Okay. So I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to fill up the tank, and I don't want you to let it get below half. And I want to know if that changes it. Because if the water or the fuel pump inside the tank sees air, all the time, we use the gasoline in the tank to lubricate the pump. How many miles are on that Tahoe?
So over 250.
Okay. Has it ever had a fuel pump in it?
I did put one in probably about 5 years ago.
Okay.
4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, well, there's a fuel pressure regulator there, too. That's easy to check. We can check the fuel pump. Okay. You know, a lot of us will just go to the fuel pump relay, and we'll bring off the power in the ground, and we'll put a little light bulb on your dash and tape it there and say, turn the key on, that light should come on. And you say, you know what, when it doesn't start, I turn the key on, the light doesn't come on. That means that the fuel pressure regulator or the fuel pump relay is not working. Now, here's something else you can do. Go in and look at your owner's manual, and there's going to be a couple of relays in there. I want you to find the one for the fuel pump and swap it for the window relay. Just put the window in the fuel pump and the fuel pump in the window. If the problem goes away, you know what to do.
Gotcha. All right.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you. Gary, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hi. Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. I've got a 2006 Chrysler Sebring. And it has the 2.7 liter V6 in it. And I've got this problem where, well, right now it won't even start, but where I'll be driving along and it'll just, like, especially when I come to a stop or something, it'll just die on me. It'll just, like, stall out and die, and then I won't be able to restart it because, lo and behold, also the battery is dead. But the thing is, I thought it might be the battery, so I took the battery in to get it checked. And
Hold on. It doesn't do any good to go through the list of what you've tried and what you're not. Let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
When it starts, it cranks over normally. Boom, and the motor starts. Yes.
Yes, okay. I can. If I charge up the battery, I can get it to start.
Okay. You said a few minutes ago that you pull up to an intersection and something happened, and when you hit the key, describe what happened when you hit the key at that circumstance.
When I came to a stop, it just stalled, and then it died.
Okay, and then when you went to start it, you put it in neutral or park, and when you went to start it, what happened? What did it do?
It was the battery was dead.
So it's click, 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 click. Is that what you had?
No, I didn't even have that. It just, I would, it would do the one click and the lights would come on briefly, but then, I mean, it was pretty dead, so it just wouldn't turn over.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to fix your car, but I can tell you on a 1 to 10 scale, it's going to be about a 3. So I don't know what's wrong with your car. I'd have to run a bunch of tests. What part of town do you live in?
North Phoenix, near Greenway and the 17.
Okay. Well, there's a guy named Tom Blackwell up there at 40th Street in Greenway. And you can go to Blackwell Auto and just tell him that Mark Salem says you don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this. And that'll kind of wave that. That's kind of like waving the red cape in front of the bull. And don't tell him what you think it is or what you don't think it is. I want you to describe the problem. Intermittently, it dies. And when I hit the key, it goes click, click. It doesn't crank, or the adverse is, it cranks but won't catch.
Now, no, I can actually turn on the vehicle. Once I charge up the battery, I can turn on the vehicle, and it runs for about 5 minutes, and then it dies again.
I know, but you see, the thing of it is we don't care about that. We want to ask you questions. So what you just told me is that I'm running out of battery juice because I pull up to an intersection and it dies, and I hit the key and it click, click, clicks. And then you just got through saying, well, I get the click, click, click over here. Well, that's a low voltage situation. Battery cable, starter solenoid, battery ground. There's so many things that can be causing that, but on a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 3. If you'll just let them ask questions and answer their questions. But you've got the ratcheting of the that's just low voltage situation. So the starter needs 9.6 in order to go rrr, 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 rrr. And if you got 8.6, it ain't going to go rrr, 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 rrr. It's going to go rrr. That's the flutter, the kick. So do we have a bad battery connection, positive or negative? Do we have a bad connection at the starter? Do we have a starter that's hanging up? Do we have a solenoid that's hanging up? To be honest with you, most of us gray-haired guys can hear what's going on and we'll know what it is with a minimal amount of testing. But just tell Blackwell the symptoms and tell him Mark Salem said you don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this car, so call me when he needs help, and he'll just laugh his butt off.
Okay.
Good luck to you, Gary. Thank you very much. The important part is about good shops, and let me tell you about a couple. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. When you meet Nate, he looks like the biggest lumberjack you've ever seen in your life. He's got hands like tennis rackets. He's so kind. He's so nice. He is just the epitome of what you should be as a shop owner. He has technicians that are just wizards when it comes to Chevy, Ford, and Dodge diesels. There is nothing he can't fix on a Chevy, the 6.6 liter, the Ford, the 7.3, the 6 liter, and the Dodge, the 5.9 and the 6.6. There's nothing he can't do. So if you've got one of those diesels that nobody can fix, don't go to Nate's Strictly Diesel and say, I've already spent $2,000, because we don't care. We don't care. We're not going to give you credit. You need to go back to all them other guys and get your money back. But sometimes when we fix it, we write it up for you, and you go back to them and you say, this is what fixed it. You weren't on the right track. Would you please consider a refund? And that's a nice way to ask for that. But if you want, you can stop payment on the credit card ticket to the other shops if the time frame hasn't expired. I would suggest you try to be nice about it, and you'll probably get a lot more with, somebody may say, I'll give you half your money back, but I'll give you all the labor back, but I'm not going to give you the parts back because, you still have my parts. And you can decide if that's appropriate for you. But that's how it works. We got one more caller. Who's that? Jody, good morning.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. I just found you a few weeks ago. I almost hate to ask you a work question.
Go ahead.
You're having so much fun here, everybody giving you compliments. And over the last couple weeks, I've enjoyed learning from you. I do have a question. I got someone backed into my driver's side door about a year ago, and I got it fixed. And then about 6 months ago, I went in for routine maintenance, and they told me there that I need a rear alignment kit. And it's going to cost about $1,000. And I thought, well, just wait. I went to a different shop 4 months later for maintenance, asked them to look at the rear, And they said there wasn't anything to do back there. He said he thought it was just normal wear. I've got 50,000 miles. It's a little bit squeaky between the two wheels in the back.
Okay. Well, there's some of the things you said that were just what I needed to hear.
Okay.
First of all, for somebody to say you have an alignment issue and it's going to cost $1,000, I want to tell you, if that person said that in my shop, I would fire their butt in about 6 seconds. Because
yeah.
We don't transition from, I see a little problem on your car and it's going to cost you $1,000. That's bull. That's just flat bull. You look at the, I'll tell you what, go to Discount Tire and ask them, do you have any abnormal wear in any of your tires? That's where you start. Look at my backs, look at my front, tell me if I have any abnormal wear. If they say the outer edges of the fronts are worn, which we expect, because those are the steer tires. They lean left and lean right. But the outer edge is the one that shows. And then the back tires, if they've been on the back, they have perfect wear. They're not shoulder edged. And you say to Discount, would you look at my... Now, let me ask you this. I want you to try this. You drive the car, and then I want you to be in a parking lot on a Sunday morning, and I want you to do 10, 15 miles an hour, and then I want you to hit the brakes kind of hard. Is there a clunk?
Okay.
I want you to back up and hit the brakes kind of hard. Is there a clunk? No clunk on the front, no clunk on the back. Discount passes your tires. You're fine. That's all there is to it. You're fine.
Okay. Well, and I do have to add one thing. When I went to the second shop, it was the morning that I found you, and I kept you on my radio and cranked up the volume so that when they turned it on, they would know that I listened to you. So maybe that's the reason they were good to me.
Well, let me ask you this. What part of town do you live in?
We just moved to Surprise.
Okay. Go to marksalem.com. We've got some West Side shops. And I've got a lot around the Central Avenue corridor. I got Billy at 25th Street Auto. I've got a lot of shops all the way around. But if you find one you like, then stay there. If they treat and they're going to say, the good guys are going to say, Jody, you're going to have to put some rear shocks on this sometime in the near future. The right rear is leaking oil, and the left rear is as old as the right rear. So these are the symptoms I want you to pay attention to, a bad vibration on a hard stop, and then we're going to have to put rear shocks on it. And I went ahead and wrote you an estimate on your ticket so that when you get to that point, you'll know what it is. That's what we do the best. We, the good guys in the industry, and half of them are on my website. So that's the best I can offer you, but thank you. You made my day. Thank you very much. Thompson's Auto Repair is another shop. He's over in Mesa. He's the only shop in Mesa. He's on Main Street east of Stapley, and he's a doggone good guy. We'll see you next week.